Let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 and going down through verse 8. Hope you have your Bibles with you and follow along in your Bible. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning in verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I want you to focus what he says on verse 11, when he reminds us about all of these things and about life. God has made everything appropriate in its time, or God has made everything beautiful, some translations say, in its time. One of the most fascinating aspects of life is this thing we call time. Everything seems to revolve around time. Even in our vocabulary, it's hard to talk about much of anything without talking about time. We do it all the, there it is, time. Somebody says, you got the time. Somebody else says, I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. We tell our young people, listen here, here's something, don't waste your time on that. Or maybe a husband may say, come on, dear, it's time to go. Or maybe here's a couple who says, it's time we sat down and had a talk. Basketball coach begins to see the game getting away from him, and so he jumps up and he says, time out. We use that a lot, this business of time. There was a sign on a picket line one time, and I thought it very classic. It said, time heals all wounds, but time and a half will heal them faster. The most important thing about time, though, is what he says in verse 11. God has made everything appropriate or beautiful in its time. When it comes to the puzzle of your life, God will make all of the pieces of the puzzle begin to fit together in time, but not according to your time or my time, only His. Romans 8 and verse 28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. But He's going to do that in His way and in His time. Now, our problem is the only time that we usually focus on is right now. We have difficulty seeing past that. For example, we see only the ugly cocoon, and God says, just give it some time. We see only today, and God says, give it time. We see whatever disappointment is in front of our face, whatever problems we're facing, whatever hurt and heartache we're undergoing, and God says, wait, just give it some time. He says, with God, all things, everything will eventually make sense. God will take care of us. Now, when I open my Bible to the first chapter in the book of Genesis, I understand from the very creation and the beginning of time as we know it, that the world God made, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that the world that God has made, of which you and I are part of every day, is a world of not disorder or out of order, but the world God created is a world very much of order. Because God ordered it. Now, there's things about it I don't understand. Obviously, He does. I think about the birds this time of the year. Well, maybe I hope they've already got a jump start on this. They migrate south. And then they turn right around in the north and in the warmer times and they migrate back north. Why is that? And how is that? And who is that? Well, that's all God's doings. And I think about the salmon in the Pacific Northwest and the phenomenon that you've no doubt studied about and learned about, how that they swim upstream to their spawning grounds. And they just have a built-in mechanism that tells them to do that. How is all that possible? I don't understand any of that, but God does. And that's the order in our world. Animals curl up in a cave this time of the year, and they begin to hibernate. Earlier, a month or so ago, the trees began to lose all of their leaves, and nobody got excited about that, because we know that come March and April, they're going to get back a whole new set of leaves. It happens again and again and again, because of the order in the world, because of the seasons of time. In Genesis 1 and verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. There's seasons that God has placed in order. In Genesis 8 and verse 22, He says the same. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God has ordered the world of which we live, and part of that order is the changing of the times, or the changing of the seasons as they come and go. Now, just as the animal kingdom of creation, and just as the plant kingdom of creation passes through phases of time and or seasons, in a sense, so do we. There are seasons of life. I think you understand that. There's spring and there's summer and there's autumn and there's winter. There's different periods of life that all of us go through as we get older. And every one of them are filled with changes in life and challenges to us. And some are very pleasant to look forward to. Some aren't. Some we face with great apprehension and fear and uncertainty, and others we embrace very rapidly. But here's the question. Are you enjoying the change of seasons in your life? Or are you just enduring this time? Are you using the time that God has given you in this period of life? Or are you simply hurrying on to the next? Are you growing older and more seasoned just in age only? Or are you growing better and wiser with the passing of time? One thing is for sure, this book, the Bible, is the book for all seasons. And what happens as you begin to grow older, you find the seasons roll by at an astonishing rate. But God's Word never changes. He says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 24, the grass withers and the flower falls off, but the Word of God stays the same. It doesn't change. All of us grow older. That's a fact of life. But by embracing Scripture and what it teaches us, we can grow better
as we age and enjoy the various seasons of life. Now, here's the problem that a lot of us face. We fail to enjoy where we are now. Sometimes it's hard, even physically, to embrace the current season because we tire of it very rapidly and we want the next one to come. You remember back in the summer when it was really hot and people complained? It sure is hot. I wish it would get cooler. Well, you got your wish. It is. The cold fronts come down out of Canada and suddenly the temperature just drops and you go out in the morning and it's 15 degrees and you're thinking to yourself, "Whoa, I wish it was warmer again." Well, hang around a while. You'll get there. It'll happen. Now, we not only do that with the seasons of the calendar, we do that with the seasons of life. You ask one of these young people, for example, in the middle school class, ask them how old they are, and they're going to tell you. They're 12 and a half. 13 and a half. Ask Tim Buchanan how old he is and see if he throws a half on there. Ain't going to happen. Somewhere in the passing of the seasons, we forget about that half business. My point is that sometimes we're not content with where we are. We always want to be somewhere else. And so a young person says, "I can't wait to get 16. When I get 16, I can get my driver's license. I'm free. I'm free." No, you're not. You just have access to more opportunities to get in trouble, probably. "I can't wait until I'm 30. If I can just get out of my 20s, if I can just be 30, people won't treat me like a little kid anymore. I can't wait till I retire. When I retire, oh, I'll be able finally to enjoy life." When we begin to think that way as we go through the various seasons of life, guess what we're missing out on? Life. I'm convinced a lot of people aren't happy because somehow in their mind they're waiting for life to happen to them. And what they don't realize is life is happening now. Life is happening around you every single day. See, we've got it in our mind that everything has to be perfect in our life, and then we'll be able to enjoy it. Well, that's not going to happen. And by the way, happiness is not just found in reaching the top. Happiness needs to be found in the journey. So don't miss out on the beauty of spring because you can't wait for summer. And don't rush through summer because you long for fall. And don't overlook the joys of fall because you dread the cold of winter. Because if you do, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to look at the calendar and you're going to say, "I missed it. I missed it in regard to life." I want to read some verses out of the wise man's words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's pick it up at verse 12. Because Solomon seems to capture this very theme again and again and again. Enjoying life now, today, it's one of the themes of the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime." He says the time for you to rejoice and the time for you to do good is not next season. It's now. It's now. You know, I ought to take my wife and we ought to get away for a couple of days. Well, that's good. That's good to say something like that. Or I need to take my wife out to dinner. Good, that's good to say that. But talk is cheap. Why don't you do it? I need to spend some more time with my kids. I know I really should. I need to do that. Then why don't you do it? And Solomon says, why don't you do it now?
while you have this time. Or chapter 5 and verse 18. Here is what I have seen to be good and fitting, to eat and to drink and to enjoy oneself in all of one's labors in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. Enjoy this time in your life. Sometimes life happens all around us and we miss it. We miss the magical moments because we just get too busy. Or chapter 9 and verse 7. Go then and eat your bread in happiness, he says, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Celebrate life, he says. Enjoy every moment, every single meal, he says, that God provides. Enjoy. Or verse 8 of the same ninth chapter. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. He said, don't dress every day of your life like you're going to a funeral. Don't do that. He says, let your clothing be white. Black is the color of mourning. He says, throw on some bright colors. He says, get a new haircut. That's my translation. Let not oil be lacking on your head. And smile and show everybody how to live. Look in verse 9. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. If you have a spouse, if you have a husband, if you have a wife, celebrate that. You know, one of the heartaches of dealing with a lot of the older folks in the assisted living home is they're there many times because their spouse has passed on. And they're in a very lonely time. And sometimes those of us who are married and we have one another fail to capture the time that we have. Maybe we complain so much, or maybe we need to quit complaining so much because, you know, she's not perfect. Or he may not be the Prince Charming that you thought you could make him into. And accept each other for who you are. The good and the bad and the warts and all, and start having fun and enjoying life together. That's his advice. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. And verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Throw yourself into life. Every now and then you hear somebody say, well, I'm saving my strength. What for? What are you saving it for? Why are you doing that? That's not the advice the wise man gives. He says, throw yourself into life. And don't put off living until you retire. Don't do that. He says, live right now. Chapter 11, verse 7. The light is pleasant and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Go outside, he says, and soak up some sun. Now that's poetic. That's Hebrew poetry. What does it mean? It means this. We focus on all the bad stuff too much. We focus too much on the dark stuff, the bad stuff. And if you want to focus on that, just watch the evening news. Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 5, doesn't matter. Watch the evening news before you go to bed every night and you'll be depressed. Because it's all the bad stuff. And it's so easy, if we're not careful, to watch all that stuff too much that we think that that's all life is. And we focus so much on the dark side. Well, there's a lot of good things too. Fact is, there's more good things than bad things. And so Solomon says, look on the bright side for a change. The light is pleasant. It is good for the eyes to see the sun, he says. And then I love verse 8. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him be miserable through every one of them. Is that what it says?
Let him rejoice in them all.
Happiness, he says, ought to pervade all of the seasons of our life. You don't have to wait until you reach some kind of magical age and then you throw open the door and say, okay, I'm waiting to be happy. It doesn't work that way. If you're in the spring of life, you're in the spring of life, right? Say, sure. Yeah, okay. Spring of life. Enjoy life right now. If you're in the summer of life, enjoy what you have right now. If you're in the fall of life, if you're even in the winter of life, whatever age you are, whatever season you're in, make the most of your time. Be committed to squeezing every ounce out of every day that you have. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. I'm glad God changes the seasons like he does. I'm glad to live in a place where we have the balance of all four seasons. Think how dull it could be if it's the same old every day. That's why I don't live in Florida. I don't know why anybody would want to live in Florida. The palm trees just, you know, they just don't turn. I don't get it. Seriously. With infinite creativity, with remarkable regularity, God does some amazing things. God splashes white over the brown landscape. And then God throws orange and God throws red and God throws gold onto the hillsides. And then God gives us the shades of green and the dogwoods begin to blossom and the tulips come out of nowhere and he just puts color constantly in our world. And each of the seasons are unique and every segment of time is unique. And holds its own mysteries and has its own beauty. So I close this evening thinking with you about the four seasons and how they relate to age in our own lives. I wrote down springtime, the season of spring, as the season of beginning. That's what it really is. The flowers. Suddenly the trees come alive. Everyone spruces up in spring. You get a little spring in your step. They don't call it winter cleaning. They call it spring cleaning. God's urban renewal program is given for all to see all over again. Just when you get tired of the perpetual brown, he does it again. And he brings back the color. When is the spring of life? Well, from birth, probably up to maybe your 20s. Because the spring of life is a very exciting time. Everything, when you're young, everything is new. Everything is fresh. Everything is exciting. But one thing you need to know about spring, verse chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember your Creator. When? In the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of spring. In the spring of life is when you need to come to terms with God. And I'll say to you, if you're a teenager, you're old enough to think about your relationship with God. Because as you leave the teen years and begin to move into the 20s, the 20s are a decade of decision making, of decisions that will change your life forever, that will impact your life. And the best way for you to enjoy the summer years of your life is to make sure you're firmly planted in spring. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. But eventually we reach the summer times of life. When does that happen? Oh, I don't know, maybe when you're in your 30s, 40s, maybe up to about 50. In the summer of life, we have to work and work and work to keep up, and we work to raise our families. Summer time of life can be a very busy time of life, sometimes too busy. Sometimes our priorities can get all out of whack. And it's easy to substitute making a living for making a life. And the first thing you know, those little kids that we just put in those car seats again and again and again, and we're like, oh, I can't wait they get out of the car seat. Well, they get out of the car seat. And they're now behind the wheel. And you're in the driveway and you're watching them drive off. And you're thinking, where in the world did the time go? The summer season of life is when a lot of us grow up. And we learn the meaning of words like responsibility and commitment and accountability and courage and self-discipline. It's a great time of life, but only if you make it count for God. And then we move into the autumn years of life, a season of reflection. When a person reaches the autumn years of life, in their 50s and 60s and 70s, it's a season of thinking. It's a time to stroll in your mind and to give serious thought to the question of who and what and where and why. And in the autumn of life, we begin to evaluate the way we were and work to establish the way we want to be. Autumn represents a lot of change. The weather changes, foliage changes, we change. Maybe you're in the autumn years of your life. Enjoy this time. Because if you let God and you spend enough time with Him, God will take the roots of your life and He'll run them down deeper and deeper, and He'll make you stronger and stronger. And then comes the winter months. Just the name winter sounds cold and harsh. Short days. That's one thing I don't like about winter. It was dark today at 4 o'clock. Did you notice that? I read the other day that in the month of December and January, it gets dark in Anchorage, Alaska at 3 in the afternoon. Big deal. We beat them by an hour. Okay? Because where we sit on the eastern side of the central time zone, you get a cloudy, dreary day and it's dark at 4 o'clock. And sometimes when a person gets in the winter of life, that's kind of the way they think about themselves. And the heavy gray clouds and the bitter north wind begins to blow. We have a phrase we talk about, the dead of winter. And that's fitting. But the flip side of that is, I read this the other day and I think it very interesting. Of all of the seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, of all of the seasons, artists have chosen to paint more winter scenes than all of the others put together. Why is that? Because there's something even about winter that's pretty special to capture. Winter is a time in life in which we really slow down and think about God and reflect. And maybe you are a person in the winter of life and maybe you're alone. And it's easy to be scared and it's easy to be sick. It's easy to be discouraged because the winter of life can be pretty tough. But here's the message. Here's the good news. The same God who watched over you in the spring of life, who watched over you in the summer of life, who watched over you in the fall of your life is going to be with you through the winter of life. And one day, He'll take you home and you'll wake up to eternal spring. What is it Solomon said? Whatever age you are, wherever you are in life, enjoy this time and make the most of it. I want to close with a song
a poem entitled The Seasons of a Man. It is sung by Steve and Annie Chapman. It has four stanzas. And what's unique about the song is that there's a different voice who sings each stanza. When the song begins, it's the voice of a little child. And here's what it says. The voice of youth and innocence. I am the springtime when every day seems so fine. Whether rain or sunshine, you will find me playing. Days full of pretending when a dime is a lot to be spending. And a time when life is just beginning. I am the springtime. The second verse is the voice of a young man. And he sings, I am the summer, when days are warm and longer, when the call comes to wander, but I can't go far from home, when the girls become a mystery, when you're barely passing history, and thinking old is when you're 30. I am the summer. The third stanza is the voice of a middle-aged man. And he sings, I am the autumn days, when changes come in so many ways. Looking back, I stand amazed that time has gone so quickly. When love is more than feelings, it's fixing bikes and painting ceilings. It's when you feel a cold wind a-coming. I'm the autumn days. The last verse is the voice of an elderly man. And he sings, I am winter. When days are cold and bitter, and the days I can remember number more than the days to come. When you ride instead of walking, when you can barely hear the talking, and goodbyes are said too often, I am the winter. And the song ends with the old man singing, but I'll see spring again in heaven, and it will last forever. Makes you think. Makes you think. One of the encouraging things about the congregation here, I think, is that we have so many of so many different age groups. We are so blessed to have these young people and the energy they bring to us. We are so blessed to have these younger couples and with their families and their kids and all of this kind of thing. And we're so blessed to have them. And then we have those who have raised their children and are still young at heart. Right, Joel? We're young at heart. And we have several that fit into that age category. And then we have some older folks who mean the world to us. And what a blend. And I hope that as time goes on, that we can just forget all about the generation gaps. Let's close those generation gaps. Let's not have any of those. And let's just all work together as one, regardless of our age and regardless of where we are in life.